depending upon the Lord for help, I direct your attention to the second epistle of Peter, the first chapter, and the fourth verse. The second epistle of Peter, chapter 1, verse 4. Whereby art given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The Apostle Peter, he introduces himself by saying, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. To whom? What is it to them who have obtained like precious faith? And what was Peter's faith so precious? Because the Lord had given it to him, and the Lord had prayed that his faith should not fail. And I'm sure of this, if we are the Lord's dear people, we'll understand that language. Some folk, it's easy for them, seemingly, to believe. But what is it to believe? It is to believe that without Jesus, the Son of God, we can do nothing. It is to believe that without Jesus, the Son of God, we shall be lost to all eternity. Some would seemingly believe that if they don't believe, and they are full of doubts and fears, it makes them children of God. But I do not find that anywhere in the world of God, in the Word of God. And I verily believe that many souls today are deluded by such teaching, and also believing such teaching, it doesn't deliver them from corruptions that are in the world. No, it does not. They continue in the corruptions of the world. And I believe this, one of the great enemies of the world today is the evil in the Church of God. That's where indeed the evil today is, because while that abounds, there is no prayer, there's no believing in God, there is only the provocation of God to provoke him to anger. I say how guilty the Church of God is today, and we need to ask the question, how guilty are we before God? Are we true members of the Church of God? And are we seeking those things most earnestly that are of God? But here the Apostle says, to them that have obtained like precious faith. My friends, the Apostle Peter, he looked upon his faith as being precious, so precious. Oh, that it should never fail. Precious indeed that it should live forever. Preciousness in this, that it indicates the work of the Holy Spirit in his soul. I say, wonderful truth, isn't it? Like precious faith. The apostle, he didn't say, I have a faith, it's not like you lot, it's far superior to yours. When you know what I know, then indeed you'll have a true religion. I don't know if you realise that when I first went out to preach, this sort of talk was very, very common among the churches. When you've learnt what I've learnt, when you know what I know, friend, oh, I would to God that today, not that we want to dwell on the past, this spirit may be found in us, that here, especially at Rotherfield, what I know not, teach thou me. Friend, head knowledge won't do us any good at all. But what we need, I'm sure of this, is that like a precious faith, the work of the Holy Spirit, directing our hearts and thoughts unto the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. Oh, like the hymn writer to put it, is that if ever my poor soul is saved, 'tis Christ must be the way, believing, oh, that there is but one way, and one way alone. So he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Peter really desired this for the brethren, for the churches scattered abroad. And then surely, I believe this should be our desire, should it not? Yea, that we might seek growth and prosperity. Is there not indeed a spirit today of separation? Is there not a spirit of jealousy? Is there not a spirit indeed of division and strife? Ah, my friend, not so with Peter. There was a time, you know, when he verily thought that he might be one of the most important ones. But, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ taught him differently. You know, Peter had to come down. John the Baptist had to come down. The Apostle John had to come down. My friend, all who enter in at the straight gate, they'll have to come down. Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. And I believe in coming down will have a loving desire for the church of God, that grace and peace be multiplied. Oh, I would to God that we could see it today, know it today, and feel it today. Grace and peace. Is this what we are seeking for, striving for? Is there not another message here for each one of us? That if we mingle with those who do not seek for grace and peace, but are the instigators of division and strife? Are we better without them than with them? I believe so. Because, I say, evil communications, they corrupt good manners. How often of late I've had to say this to so many. I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Friend, this is the only way by which grace and peace can ever be multiplied. Or the only answer to neutralize the bitterness, the enmity, or the pride and the conceit that abounds. It's the only way in which we'll cancel out former teaching and instruction that has been injurious unto the Church of God. Friend, a humble, simple religion, believing in Jesus Christ and him alone, hanging, resting upon no other. Oh, let me give this warning today. If we have a foundation away from this, it's a sandy foundation. It's a foundation that will not hold you up in the swellings of Jordan. It's not a foundation that you should be able to stand upon in the judgment day to justify yourself. No, it's not. But surely it will be a foundation that will indicate what sinners we are and how we are at enmity and rebellious to God and indeed adverse to his wonderful salvation. Friend, oh, to have this good foundation. And how is it done? In verse 3 he says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things. We need to remember that, according to his divine power, not according to anything else. There's no answer than the power, the great power of God for our salvation. You cannot replace it. It cannot indeed be changed for anything else. According as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Here is a test, surely in every situation. Is it according to life and godliness? Does it pertain unto that? Or is it far removed from that? Now I cannot answer for you and you cannot answer for me. But surely there is such a thing as examining ourselves before God, for he goes on to exhort us to make our calling and our election sure. It shall be according to the power he hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He hath given it. This is the wonder of it, isn't it? It is so good, it's so pure. It works indeed in a poor sinner's heart. He has given it. Not something you have obtained yourself and bought yourself, but he has given it. my friends, what a desire. And that is when we can say, Lord, give to me. Though it's so rich, though it's so precious, he does not prevent that soul who through the grace of God desires it coming unto him. It is a byword sometimes, isn't it? But it must be given. And people say that without any sense of feeling or understanding. Without any desire, Lord, I must have it. Lord, I shall die. I shall be lost to all eternity without it. No. Fold in the arms and the clothes clasped in the hands and saying, well, it must be given. It's not my fault, in other words, if I don't possess it. No. The indications, of a dead professor are most solemn at times, because it doesn't drive them to Christ. But surely they prefer to wander away from the holy commandment. But I must come closer to this verse. Through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue, who has called us unto glory and virtue. I say, has the Lord called you unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises? Can promises be precious? My friends, men's promises are often like my mother used to say, they're like pie crust. They're meant to break. Oh, my friend, I wouldn't be frivolous here. No, indeed, God's promises are not meant to break. They cannot be broken. They can't, friends. They are, his promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. So they are great and precious promises. Friend, then the whole church of God, collectively and individually, they find his precious promises as their foundation. Their foundation, friends. And this is the great matter I would speak of then this morning. What sort of foundation have you got? What sort of foundation have I got? They must then be founded upon his great foundation, his promises. For he said, all that the Father hath given me shall come unto me. They have a share, they have an interest in those precious promises. They are indeed precious. The promises are precious to those who indeed have an interest in them, who will come and examine those promises. There are those promises, friends, that are personal promises that the Lord will speak into a poor sinner's soul. But he said, come, whosoever will. My friend, therefore, he gives the will. And that is a precious promise that they can come. Jesus said, seek, and ye shall find. Friend, the great thing is then, are we seekers? And I mean seekers. The promise then to you is, ye shall find. I say, what an encouragement that is to the Lord's little ones, his seekers. Yes, indeed, they are precious promises, because the Lord has spoken them. They cannot be reversed or altered. I say, does the Lord encourage you in this? Seek, and ye shall find. It wasn't spoken of man. It was spoken indeed to the church of God. My friend, the Lord, he has never wasted words. He never quoted words that are not necessary and essential. I'm sure of that. No. And therefore his words are so precious unto his people. Precious promises. The Lord doesn't say, when you come and have qualified for this, then you can enter into this promise. When you have gained that or gained this, then it may be you'll be considered for the promise. No such thing. If we have a thought in our hearts that there's such a thing as graduation in the things of God, I would entreat you today to stop and think again. There's no such thing, as far as I'm concerned, as graduating in the things of God. Did the Apostle Paul graduate? No. He said, having obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. And how did he find help of God? In his precious promises. Why, there is encouragement in God's promises. There is indeed. He encourages his people to seek his face. His precious promises. He tests his people in his promises from time to time. Is it, will ye also go away? My friend, Peter was put to it again, was he not? Lord, to whom else can we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. And what say you? And what do I say with regards to this? Can we go away? Can we go with the multitude? Can we go with those who do not need Christ, who do not depend on Christ continually? My friend, no. We cannot, can we? They are precious promises. He encourages us to follow hard in the way. Listen, we change, we weaken from day to day, do we not? We will often say, I cannot go on. Well, to whom else can you go if you can't go on? We indeed, our strength may fail, but his strength is ever the same. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are those everlasting arms. Precious promises, friends. The eternal God is thy refuge. We do not graduate, I say, ourselves to become better, greater, bigger, stronger. No. Even the good man John the Baptist, who was an outstanding character, wasn't he? Different from most people in some ways. But he said this, he must increase, but I must decrease. Friend, the witness of such men as John the Baptist encouraged poor needy sinners to approach unto the Lord Jesus Christ. They are precious promises. Jesus has said, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Friend, do you labour? Are you heavy laden? Is your religion easy? Is your walk easy? Are your prayers easy? Is believing easy? Ah, my friend, is it come unto me? The only way that it can be made easy is when we have found our spirit in union with that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You know, we have learned much perhaps in religion, but it's sad, isn't it, when we can learn all this religion, but we do not learn of him. My friend, we can do away with all the teaching of man's teaching, but we cannot do away with the teaching of God. Yes, we have to say this, that so often the teaching of man is dreadfully complicated. And I shall never forget, Mr. Stanley Delves used to say quite often, or pray rather, that he might be kept from making simple things complicated. And you might say, what did he mean? My friend, the simple teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, for that can often be damaged by the complications of men. Oh, those precious promises that he speaks to his people. You know, sometimes the Lord doth give unto his people as individual promises. Yes, promises. And it may be an indication to you of what might lies be for you. He doesn't give promises like that that are not needful. He knows indeed we need them. My friend, he gave to his disciples those promises that he would not leave them or not forsake them. So he says to his disciples, when he began to tell them that what would happen, that he must depart from them, he said, but nevertheless, he said, I'll send another comforter. Another comforter. Do we know anything of that comforter? Does this fill our hearts and our prayers before God? Lord, send thy Holy Spirit, thy comforter, and take of the things of Jesus and reveal them to me. It was a promise, my friends, for those disciples. I believe it is a promise, not only to his disciples then, but right down through the ages. But I say, how has the Church of God profited down through the ages? How is it that you have profited anything in your heart and in your life? Is it not by that Comforter that he would send? Oh, I say, they are precious promises. When the sea is rough and tempestuous, when storms blow from all quarters, when we've come down to bedrock bottom and we've got nothing left, and I've been forced to say, I feel to have finished, yet, my friend, the Comforter comes. And it is he that speaks to us. It is he that brings about that great calm in our heart and soul. Oh, those precious promises. They may seem so deep and tremendous, yet are they not so simple as he does speak them to us? The teaching of the Holy Spirit. My friend, you may be all alone. Your thoughts may be afar off. You may be saying, like good David was saying in his outpost, I shall fall one day by the hand of Saul. My friend, David could not fall by the hand of Saul. David could not fall until his work was accomplished, what God had given him to do. But you know, he couldn't do it himself. No, he couldn't. And neither can you or I. And therefore, Saul was prevented from destroying David. And just see all how he went all out to destroy him. Yet, my friend, God was his shield. God was indeed was his protector. God indeed was a stronghold, a very present help in the time of trouble. Those precious promises, friends. Oh, they can never and never be moved. But I need to come quickly to the most important things in our life. And that is the end of our life. At the our never dying soul, when his body shall return to dust, our soul shall continue. We need ever to remember that, you know. We're so apt to think, well, when this body of mine is done, that will be the end of it. If anybody is really certain in their minds of this, I say, you stand in a solemn and dreadful place. No, my friend, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment. There is the judgment of our never dying soul. I say, are the promises of God to us, are they precious to us? Oh, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, it cleanseth us from all sin. Yes, how precious indeed his promises. Has he thus brought you, like he speaks of in the beginning of Isaiah? He did wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now. Come now. That is now. Come now. And let us reason together, saith the Lord. What a loving entreaty there is. Come now. Let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Then he comes in with this word. If ye be willing and obedient. If ye be willing and obedient. I cannot encourage anybody to avoid the issue. We need to ask the question today, Lord, am I willing? Am I obedient? Am I one that would use my own free will to go against the grace of God? How solemn that is. If ye be willing and obedient. Those precious promises, friends, he makes us willing and obedient to receive them. The cry of a true child of God is this, Lord, make me willing, make me obedient, take away my stubborn heart, take away my rebellious spirit. Lord, remove the enmity in my heart, take away that spirit that is anti-everything. Against everything. Friend. Oh, he said, come, let us reason together. My promises, yea, are faithful. My promises shall endure. My promises cannot be broken. They are precious promises. They are so precious in this sense. Also, because we have nothing in our hand to bring. It makes us dependent upon his blood and righteousness alone. Because we have nothing of ourselves to offer. Oh, we have to come and say, for Jesus Christ's sake, amen. Looking up to God, pleading with him, oh, to receive us in his own dear Son, Christ Jesus. Oh, those precious promises. Oh, they are so faithful, so unchangeable. And what do we want out of his precious promises here below? Is it not this, Lord, lead me on, guide me on, and direct my feet in that way everlasting. Oh, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to that hiding place. Oh, wherein God's frown shall never come. Where he will surely smile upon his people. where we by grace are brought to believe in Jesus Christ as being our advocate. What are we trusting in this morning? And who do we trust in? It's a great mercy if we've come here to say, I cannot put my trust in any other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, he never turns away that soul that puts their trust in him. Oh, that precious promise. He said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Amen.